Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, this morning we come into thy holy presence. And Lord, we come to thee because we need thee. Lord, right at the commencement of the service, we cry unto thee today for thy help and for thy presence to be made known. Come and be one of our number, we pray, and pour out your Spirit upon us as we sing thy praise. We pray, Lord, you'll give us a blessed time in the house of the Lord today. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of Psalm number 1. The words will be on the screen. Also page 5 in your hymn books, if you want to follow along there. That man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. The Psalm number 1, and we'll stand together as we sing this opening praise, please. Let's come before the Lord, please, now in prayer. Let's seek for his help and his presence with us. Eternal God and our Father, we thank you, O Lord, today for that blessing, Lord, even as we've been singing, of being in the Lord today. We thank the Lord that we have perfect blessedness. We thank the Lord that we were saved and redeemed. Lord, we walk not according to our own ways, but according to the ways of God. And Lord, we thank thee today that, Lord, while we see the wicked prospering all around us, and Lord, we see sin rising on every side of us, we thank thee, Lord, we rejoice this morning that we are in thee. We thank thee, Lord, that we're saved. We thank thee, Lord, that our home in heaven is secure. We've peace with God. We've pardon from sin. We have blessedness, Lord, in this life. We have a hope in the life that is yet to come. And Heavenly Father, we realize today that it is all because of Christ. Lord, we have nothing to boast in of ourselves. Our boast is only in him today. And as we approach thee, as, Lord, we come, Lord, to have this time, Lord, of this audience with God, the heaven of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, we thank thee, Lord, that we do so all on the merits of Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for our mediator. We thank thee, Lord, for the one who gave his life. Lord, the one who shed his blood, the one who opened the way back to God, Lord, from those dark paths of sin. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee today For each one that's saved in this meeting today, we can call Thee our Heavenly Father, and we can come to Thee, Lord, as a child would come to its earthly parent. We can come to Thee, Lord, with all of our need. Lord, we are a needy people. We thank Thee, Lord, that You've said that, Lord, while we are poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You would be pleased to think upon us for good. Lord, we pray that You'll come and minister to us, we ask of Thee. Lord, touch our hearts, we pray. Oh God, we pray that You'll open our eyes, open our ears, that we, Lord, might see Thee. Lord, that we might behold wondrous things, Lord, out of Thy law. Do our hearts good this morning. Lord, as we would spend this time of worship in the house of the Lord, come, oh God, we pray, be one of our number. Presence Thyself with us in a very particular way this morning. Oh God, we thank Thee for the health and the strength that, Lord, finds us in the house of the Lord this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, for all of Your mercies. Heavenly Father, we just rejoice in Thy goodness toward us. Oh Lord, we pray that You'll bless us today as we meet in this time of worship. We ask, oh God, that You'll be with us throughout this day. Take up our thanks already for the boys and girls who've been in the Sunday school, the young people who've been in the Bible class. Oh God, we pray that You'll speak on to their young lives. And Lord, bless even as the children who gathered over in Redburn this afternoon. Bless there, we pray, as the Word of God goes forth. Remember the gospel tonight. Oh God, we cry unto Thee, Lord, that You'll come and speak, Lord, in this place, Lord, across this district. Oh God, we pray that You'll, Lord, bring many to Thyself, create an interest after the things of God. Oh Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bring in the stranger, Lord, bring in those who are far from Thee. Lord, do something new amongst us, we pray, and pour out Your Spirit upon us. We pray, Lord, today for those who cannot gather with us. Remember those who are unwell. Touch them in their bodies at this time and strengthen them, O God, we pray, in their immortal frame. And Lord, we pray that as, Lord, You've touched others, we pray, Lord, that You'll touch them. Our Father, we pray that You'll remember those who are cold of heart, those who are far from God. Lord, those who have wandered away, O God, draw them back, we pray. Bring them back, Lord, to their first love. Lord, make them miserable in their sin. Lord, bring them back, Lord, to that place, Lord, where they ought to be. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we all might be, Lord, in that place where we need to be with Thee. Cleanse our hearts, we pray. We acknowledge our sin and our waywardness before Thee. And Heavenly Father, come and work within us. Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that through it all may Thy name and Thy name alone be honored and glorified. So be with us, we pray. Bless the going forth of Thy Word today. Speak to our hearts. Remember, Lord, the going forth of Thy Word not only here, but across our land and across our nation. We pray, Lord, You'll remember the sister congregations of the Free Church. We pray, Lord, You'll bless us, Lord, as a denomination, how much we need Thee. Oh God, we pray, come and pour Your Spirit upon us, we pray. Come and visit this vine, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll remember every faithful servant of the cross. We pray, Lord, that across our land and across our nation, Lord, that there will be signs to follow the preaching of the Word of God. We pray for our brother Philip there in London today. Encourage him, bless him. And Lord, continue to build up the work of God there. And Lord, use him, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray for all of the works in the mainland, in England, Scotland, and Wales. Encourage, Lord, those who are laboring for Thee in hard and difficult places. And may they know the hand of the Lord resting upon them, we pray. Remember the missionaries, those who are serving Thee, O Lord, in far-off lands. Encourage them. And Lord, bless them so far from home. And Lord, we pray that they'll have this great joy of seeing many won for Christ. God, we thank Thee today that we're still in the day of grace. We thank the Lord that there is still the opportunity for sinners to call and to cry upon Thee. Oh God, we pray that as, Lord, the people of God, we might, Lord, rise to the challenge that this generation throws at us today. And Lord, that we will continue to go forth and see the Word of God expand. Remember our students at this time. We pray for Adam. Pray for all of the students. Encourage them. Bless them in their studies. And oh God, we pray that You'll use them mightily. Lord, even as they go around various congregations week after week, may they know the hand of the Lord. May they know the blessing of the Lord. And Lord, may they see precious souls being saved even through their witness. So Lord, bless us, we pray. Lord, while on others Thou art calling, do not pass us by here in Sandown. God, we pray particularly for this area. We pray, Lord, especially, Lord, for this community. Oh God, we pray, come and do something new, we pray. Lord, that many will be turned to Thee. So hear and answer prayer and be with us just now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. If you have a copy of the Word of God, we're turning this morning to the book of 2 Kings again. 2 Kings and the chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, just in case you think you're getting a rerun of last Sunday's sermon, you're not. Last Sunday we were in the same chapter, and we were looking especially at the little maid and the impact that she had in the lives of so many, but particularly in the life of Naaman. We want to come this morning, read again the same verses, but we want to look particularly now at Naaman, who of course is the main character here in this chapter, as we consider the subject of the cure for the captain. So 2 Kings chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we'll read from verse number 1 down to verse 14. 2 Kings chapter 5 and the verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought, He will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all our hearts today. We're glad to see you, and we welcome you warmly in the Savior's name today to the house of the Lord. And good to see you all in God's house this morning. We pray the Lord will bless us. We are especially delighted to see our brother Sammy back with us, just out of hospital at the end of the week and back in church this morning. Sammy, it's good to see you. You know God's people have been praying for you, and we're glad to have you back with us. Pray the Lord will continue to bless you and keep you at this time. It's encouragement to see you this morning in God's house. The Lord bless you and continue to be with you. Glad to see you all in God's house this morning. Can I also welcome those who are watching online, those by our broadcast, we welcome you as well this morning. Just some announcements that I want to leave before you in the will of the Lord today. Do remember we have our Sunday school over in the Redburn Community Centre today at 2:30. And remember, that in your prayers, please. Remember as well, our gospel meeting tonight, 6:30. Please do plan to be with us this evening for the gospel service at 6:30. We have our season of prayer beforehand at 6 p.m. And our brother Stephen Patterson will be here to sing. Tuesday night, 6:30, the Explorers Club. Do remember that, please. And then on Tuesday night as well, at 8 o'clock, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. Then on Thursday night of this week, for our elders and deacons, we have a full committee meeting. Thursday night, 7:30, meeting here in the church. Friday night, 8 o'clock, is our youth fellowship. Remember that, young people. And our brother Derek will be speaking to the young people this Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the services, normal times, 10:15, Sunday school and Bible class, 11:30, and 6:30 are two main services, with, of course, the Sunday school in Redburn as well at 2:30. Now, next Sunday evening will be a special meeting. It'll be a deputation meeting. Now, normally, we have these during the week, but we're not able to fit our brother in during the week because he had no free weeknights. Our brother Ankel Alvarez, if that's how you pronounce it in Spanish, I don't know, but our brother will be here, who, of course, ministers in Madrid in Spain, and he'll be here next Sunday evening to tell us of the work of God that he's involved in there. They've moved into new church premises, and we're thankful for the Lord's hand upon the work there in Madrid. And so we want you to come next Sunday evening especially to hear of the work there as our brother brings that report and brings the word of God to us as well. And there'll also be an offering taken up during that meeting for our brother's work. So please do remember that in your prayers next Sunday at 6:30. As well, do continue to remember those who need our prayers. Our sister Molly Kyle, is in hospital at the moment, having fallen during the week and broken her hip, and she is waiting for surgery. It will hopefully take place in the next day or so. Please do remember Molly very much in your prayers, please. Also, remember Stephen's granny, remember Billy's mum. Remember them in prayer as well, that the Lord would touch them and the Lord would draw near to them. We'd also ask you to remember Ben Beattie. Ben is going in for a knee replacement operation this Friday. And so remember Ben, please, in your prayers. And also our brother Alvin, who commences his treatment very soon. Do remember Alvin in your prayers. And as I said, we're glad to see Sammy back home out of hospital and with us as well. We've also been asking you to remember one of our elders, our brother William Crean, in your prayers. William is home out of hospital, but I have to inform you today that sadly William has been diagnosed with cancer and he will be commencing treatment shortly. And we would ask you to remember William in your prayers. The Lord will draw near to him. I know he appreciates your prayers at this time, and pray that the Lord would draw very close to him, Aunt Mary, and all the family at this time. He will hear word, God willing, this week from the hospital as to when that treatment will commence. But do remember William very much, please, in prayer. We'd also ask you to remember a harvest weekend coming up, the second weekend in October. That is Sunday the 9th and Monday the 10th of October, in the will of the Lord. Remember, the offering boxes are available as you leave this morning, please. These are all the announcements made subject as they are to the will of God. We turn to another hymn, hymn number 208. 208, pages 260. Sound the gospel of grace abroad. There's life in the risen Lord. Spread the news of the gift of God. There's life in the risen Lord. 208, and we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please.
Oh,
some high notes that it's not easy to reach at this time of the morning, but you did well. Should have said, and I forgot to say, that there are copies of this special commemorative edition of the Vision that is available, brought out to commemorate the reign of Her Majesty, the late Queen Elizabeth. Now, there's plenty for everybody. What we want you to do is not only take one, you'll get one on the way out, but also take a number of them, give them out to somebody. You'll want to keep one for yourself, but you'll also want to give one out to maybe a neighbour or a friend, and I know it'll be a special thing for them to keep as well. So take at least one or two or more, and if we need more, we can get them for you, but do take them. You'll be giving them out as you leave this morning. We're turning back to 2 Kings chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5. As we said, we want to look at the subject, focusing especially on Naaman, the subject of the cure for the captain. But before we come to God's word, let's still our hearts, please, in prayer, and let's seek his face in prayer just now. Eternal God and our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the good news of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to tell it around and to let it abound. Even, Lord, as we were thinking last week, Lord, of that little maid who told her employer, her boss, Lord, to tell Naaman of the one who was able to heal. We pray, Lord, that we might, Lord, tell others of Jesus Christ, the one who is mighty to save. And so, Lord, we pray you'll bless us now as we consider thy word. Speak to us, O God, we pray. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Give us help to preach. And Lord, give us help to hear. And Lord, as we, Lord, go through our meeting just now, we pray, Lord, for the help of heaven. Come and, Lord, baptize us with power, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I suppose of all the accounts throughout the life and the ministry and the work of Elisha, this story of the healing of Naaman is perhaps the most well-known. His healing and his cleansing gives us a wonderful account in the gospel, a wonderful account of the change and the transformation that the gospel, that the Lord brings into a life. You see, the story of Naaman is the story of every sinner who is saved by the grace of God. And it is also the story of everyone who will come to the Lord through Jesus Christ and receive him and him alone as their Savior. At a time when nobody could help Naaman, at a time when no man-made efforts could do anything for Naaman, yet the Lord was able to heal him and to touch him. The Lord was able to restore him back to his former self. And before we come into this story this morning, as we look at the life of Naaman, I think it is an important reminder for us about the power of the gospel in our day and our generation. We have a society today. We have a generation today that is sick and getting sicker, sick with sin, spiritually unwell, confusion and anarchy reigning all around us. And folks, man has not got the answer. Man has tried. Man has sought to heal the ills of society, but man does not have the answer. Rather, our dark, sinful generation today more and more needs Christ, needs to hear the power of the gospel. Therefore, I believe that, yes, while the story of Naaman is a great gospel account, it's also a reminder for the church today that the gospel of God still works. Christ is still man's only answer. As we consider the life of Naaman this morning, may we all get our eyes on the power of the Lord to change and to transform lives. Folks, regardless of what we see around us and regardless of what we hear around us, may we all with oneness and steadfastness seek to go forward in the gospel, with the gospel. we may never see many saved and won for Christ. But you know, folks, just one person saved is worth it all. Because Naaman was only one of many lepers in Israel at that time. But he was the only one saved and healed. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ uses this account, the only account from the life of Elisha, to tell and to paint a particular story. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, in the verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." So there were many people who were sick. There were many people who were unwell. Just one was saved. And his name was Naaman. And that's why I say, we may not see many won to Christ. We may not see many turn to the Lord. But just one is worth it all. As we consider the life of this man, Naaman, I want you to see, first of all, here, the illness that marred him. The illness that marred him. Naaman enters the stage here, and back in 2 Kings chapter 5, with a list of characteristics that's highly commendable. He was quite the man. He was quite the individual in the land at that time. No doubt he was well known, he was highly respected, he was well liked. He had risen to the highest ranks in society. Yet there was one thing that marred him. One thing that overshone every other commendable thing about Naaman, and it was that, as we read at the end of verse 1, he was a leper. He had the illness of leprosy, and this marred his life far more than those things that marked his life. But let's notice some things about Naaman before we consider this illness. I want you to see, first of all, here, as we consider this illness, see his success. There are six things in verse number 1, that we are told about Naaman. Six things that marked him out in the nation. Now, in the scripture, six is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. And these six things, while they are commendable, remind us that Naaman, no matter how great he was only a man. Only a man. So we consider his success. Verse number 1, notice first of all his position. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was the commander-in-chief of the king's army. He was at the top rung of the military rank. We see as well his preference in verse 1, he was a great man with his master. In other words, he was in good favor with the king. Now, that had not always been the case, because often between the military and the monarchy, there was a jealousy. And sometimes the king would not have liked the top man in the military. But not so here. He was in favor with the king. We see his praise as well in verse 1. He was honorable, which meant that he had the praise of others, and I believe rightly so. He was praised by the military. He was praised by the monarchy. He was praised by everybody. He could do no wrong in the eyes of so many. Look at verse 1 as well. We see his performance, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. This was a man who earned his commendation. He had worked for it. He had great skill and wisdom as he sought to lead the army. And the Lord blessed his labors. The Lord gave him the deliverance. Notice his prowess, the end of verse 1. He was a mighty man in valor. He was a soldier with exceptional skills. And he knew how to lead an army into battle. He was a proven soldier. The prowess was recognized by all. But the sixth and last thing about him is his problem. He was a leper. Verse 1. A leper. That brings us from his success now to see his sickness. Because this brings us to consider the one thing that overshadowed all of Naaman's great successes. He was a leper. He was sick. And you see, suddenly, the whole narrative about Naaman changes here. He had success, but beneath that there was sickness. And you know, folks, how descriptive that is of the sinner. You can have success in this world. You can have recognition in this world. Or you can just live normal lives, peaceable lives. And yet there's one problem that afflicts us and affects us all, and it's the sickness of sin, the disease of sin. You see, leprosy always speaks of sin. And despite all that Naaman had, and despite all that Naaman was, yet he was a sinner. And despite what you may be, or despite what I may be, there's one thing that marks us all out, and that is what we're sinners by nature. By virtue of our birth, we are sinners. We are born into sin. This sickness marred Naaman's life. It hindered him. It affected him. Leprosy was an awful disease, so much so that Matthew Henry puts it that the best slave in Syria would not change his skins with a leper if he might have honor to boot. Nobody wanted to change places with Naaman, because this malady canceled out all of Naaman's magnificence. And as we see this sickness, we see that leprosy does to a person physically what sin does to a person spiritually. Leprosy was defiling. A leper was considered to be unclean. He might have had everything, but he didn't have purity. And you know, folks, sin makes the sinner imperfect and impure before God. It was defiling. Not only was it defiling, but it was deadening. The disease of leprosy would have meant that all the nerves and all the muscles would have been numb in the body. A leper could feel nothing. A leper had no sensation. It was said that of lepers that the vermin would have been eating away at them and they wouldn't have known it. They could feel nothing. They were never aware of their danger. And you see, isn't that how sin works? Sin deadens the sinner to the danger they're in. If you're in this meeting today without Jesus Christ, the God of this world has blinded you to the danger that you are in, to the awful devastation and the destruction that awaits you if you continue in sin. That devastation, of course, being a lost eternity in hell. And sin deadens the sinner. And how many people outside the doors of this church are dead to the danger they're in? Why? Because of sin. Leprosy was defiling, it was deadening, it was also disassociating. A leper could have had no association or connection with anyone else. They were cut off. And you know, the sinner is cut off, not from fellow man, but from God. Prophet Isaiah tells us that our sins have separated us from God. Sin separates the sinner from God. And that sin, if not repented of, will ultimately separate the sinner and damn the sinner in a lost eternity. It was defiling, it was deadening, it was disassociating, but it was deadly. There was no cure for leprosy. There was no betterment for the leper. But though leprosy was terrible, and though it was incurable, yet it was not, as we'll see, and as I'm sure you know, beyond the power of God to heal. And no matter how bad the sinner is, and no matter how vile the sinner is, there is no one and there is nothing beyond the pale of God's redemption. Let me encourage you, dear Christian, this morning. Perhaps you're praying for someone in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, and you've been praying for them for years, and rather than getting better, they're just getting worse. And their sin is just getting an entire grip on their lives. And you've tried everything. Listen, Lord Jesus Christ can still save the vilest of sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ today still cleanses from sin. And while we see a society sick and ruined with sin, yet today we have the message, the only message that can change them. Oh, what an awful state this man was in. He had the world at his feet, and yet he had nothing because he was a leper. And you might have everything today, everything your soul could want. You might want for nothing more. But if you don't have Christ in your heart, if you're not saved today, then you've got nothing. And I tell you this, for each one that's saved today, we wouldn't trade places or change places with you for one moment. For those that are saved, we have the assurance of sins forgiven, pardon from God, peace with God, the assurance of a home in heaven, and not for one moment. Those that are saved want to trade places with those that are unsaved. Because your sin will cost you. And your sin, what you may be reveling in, living in right now, will cost your soul in hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ can make you a new creature in Christ. So we see this illness that marred him. But I want you to see as well, secondly here, there's the foolishness that marked him. The foolishness that marked him. Now, we saw last week about the little maid. She's actually a wonderful character study when you sit down and think about it. The little girl who served Naaman's wife, who told Naaman about the only one who was able to help him. And so Naaman got to hear about Elisha. But the problem with Naaman is the problem with so many. He displayed great foolishness in thinking that he somehow could help in his healing. That he, along with Elisha, could make himself better. You see, what Naaman does here is what many people do. They think they can add something to their own salvation. That they can help themselves in association with God to make themselves better by assisting God. Maybe you think today, I can assist God, I can help God by living a good life, coming to church, paying into the church, doing charitable deeds, helping out as and when I can. That will all help in the eyes of God. It won't help one thing in the eyes of God. Because salvation is all of God, it's all of grace. As the old Puritan Jonathan Edwards said, the only thing that the sinner contributes to his salvation is the sin that necessitated it. We have nothing. Nothing to add to our salvation. But Naaman displays great foolishness here. He thought he could help. He thought he could do something. That he could work in cooperation with Elisha, the man of God. Well, notice he couldn't. Notice this foolishness. First of all, we see the foolishness that marked him in verse number 5. First of all, by the wrong price. The wrong price. Verse number 5. The king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he, that is now Naaman, departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold. Commentators would tell you this was worth millions in today's terms. Absolute fortune this man took with him, because he thought he could purchase his healing with his money. He thought this was some sort of charm and he would have to pay for it. He thought he could buy the cure. And how many today think they can buy salvation? And yet today, salvation is the free gift of God. Salvation is without money and it is without price. I wonder what price you're putting on salvation. What cost do you think is associated to your salvation? Naaman wanted to be healed, but he wanted to be healed on his terms. He thought he could buy it. Are you bargaining your soul today with God? Are you laying out the terms to God, this is how I'll be saved? Oh, the only terms for salvation are the terms of the gospel. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left an awful stain. His blood cleansed it white as snow. Nothing in your hands you bring. Simply to the cross you cling. There is no amount of money will ever buy your salvation. And many people today across our land are going to church and paying into a church and thinking that will be enough. You will never buy your way to heaven. Naaman was foolish here by the wrong price. But he was also foolish by the wrong plan. Because rather than going to the prophet of God, Elisha, as the little maid had told him, where did he go to? He went to the king, verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of the leprosy. He went to the king. He was told to go to Elisha. But he went to the wrong place. He had the wrong plan. And then as we know, read down through these verses, Elisha sent and went to a servant and told him to go and dip 7 times. Come down to verse 10, go and dip 7 times in Jordan. He had the wrong plan all along. He went to the king first of all. And then when the king didn't want anything to do with him, he went to Elisha. Elisha sent out a servant. Elisha told him what to do in verse number 10. But here, notice what Naaman does in verse 11. He was wroth, went away, and said, behold, I thought. He thought he had a better plan than God. God's plan was for Naaman to go dip in the Jordan 7 times, but Naaman thought he had a better plan. He was full of anger. He went away, as verse 11 says. Naaman's instruction was simple. Go wash, be clean. But Naaman wanted the spectacular rather than the simple. Look at verse 11. He says, I thought you'd come out, stand, call on the name of the Lord your God, strike your hand over the place, and recover the leper. He was looking for some spectacular miracle here to take place that it could be seen. He overlooked the simple message. And isn't that the plague of our society today? Overlooking the simple, plain message of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel, and as I've said in the past, we must never get back or past the simplicity of the gospel of saving grace. Jesus Christ can make sinners whole. But Naaman thought he had a better plan. He had a better way. Yet there was no betterment for healing outside of God's way.
And sinner, there is no betterment for you outside of God's way of salvation. That way is the way of the cross.
He had the wrong price, the wrong plan. Verse 12, we see his foolishness as well in the wrong place. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? The reality is they probably were. Jordan wasn't a river that you'd be going swimming in. It wasn't very clean. Yet the point is, that's where God told him to go to. And yet he wanted to go his own way. It was God's command, go to Jordan. God could have told him to go to Abana and Pharpar. God didn't. It was God's instruction, it was God's way. You see, Naaman was showing his pride and his arrogance. And we see then that his rage got in his way. You see, Naaman thought more of his plans, of his place, than he did of God's. Do you think more of your plans for salvation, of your place for salvation, than you do of God's? Naaman said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again. It's interesting, actually, when you consider that Elisha, after he told Naaman to do this, after he had witnessed the rage of Naaman, what did Elisha do? He just left it with Naaman. He didn't try to appease Naaman and say, well, listen, Naaman, let's sit down and let's talk about this. If you just do this, and we'll change this about a wee bit, and we'll work this out. And no, he didn't do any of that. He didn't change his message or alter his message just because he saw the rage of Naaman. He didn't try to appease him. This was God's message, and Elisha didn't change it, even though it was met with great hostility and great anger. You know, whenever you tell sinners that they're sinners, and the only way their sin can be saved is by Jesus Christ, it's not often greeted with great openness. You'll not get too many people telling you when you say that we're all sinners in the sight of God, thank you, I appreciate you telling me that. Very often you'll find the rage and you'll be greeted with rage. But that doesn't mean we change the message. That doesn't mean we alter what we tell them. The sinner will react with anger and rage against the message of the cross. It's a stumbling block to them. Yet we must never change the message to suit the hearer. Because none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. This was God's way. I wonder today, are you being foolish? Thinking your way is better. Thinking what you have planned up in your own mind is better than God's way. Oh, that you would be wise today. You'd realize the foolishness of your own situation. And you'd realize that only Christ can save your soul. We see the illness that marred him. The foolishness that marked him. But as we close, notice now the spotlessness that made him. The spotlessness that made him. As we saw last week, Naaman's servant in verse 13 pleaded with Naaman. Verse 13, let's read it. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. You see, this servant, again, his name is unknown. He saw the seriousness of Naaman's condition, and yet he believed in Elisha's way to heal Naaman. And so he pleaded.
And thankfully, Naaman was receptive now to the message. You know, there's a wonderful lesson there for the outreach. Maybe the first time you speak to somebody about being saved, they react with rage, anger. And that puts you off, understandably so, to go back again and say to them, but go back again. Keep telling sinners that only Christ can save them. Keep telling sinners that only the blood of Jesus Christ can save them. Because it was the repetition of the message that softened this man's heart. We repeat again, because we have no other message to tell. Verse 14, notice his submission now. He was humbled. Then went he down. You see, Naaman submitted himself to the way of God. He went down. Here he had to acknowledge that his way was not the right way. There has to be a humbling in the matter of salvation. He went down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. He went to the very place that he thought would be of no use to him. What a work of grace. Despite the hardness and the stubbornness of his heart, God was merciful. Dealt with this proud sinner in grace. He dipped 7 times. The picture, 7 is the number of perfection. It was a perfect healing. As he went down, each time he died to self, he died to his own ways, and he acknowledged the ways of God. We see his submission. We see his transformation. Verse 14, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. That flesh that had been ravaged by leprosy had now been made clean and whole. His problem had been dealt with. The disease had been removed. And in the gospel, the problem of sin can be dealt with. But that only can be dealt with by the way of God. And the way of God is the way of the cross. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, to deliver sinners from the bondage of sin, from the sickness of sin. There is no other way you will be saved apart from Jesus Christ. There's no other way you'll be in heaven but through the blood of Jesus Christ. You might think your way is better. The blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from sin. His blood still makes the vilest clean. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Maybe this morning as you sit in this meeting, you think your way is better than God's way. But be warned, the end thereof are the ways of death. Eternal death. Separation from God and a lost eternity. We see his submission. We see his transformation. Verse 15, as we close, we see his confession. He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He confessed his faith in God now, where before he was a blasphemer and a rejecter, now he confesses that God is God and God alone. Notice the difference here. In verse number 11, he says, I thought. He thought his way would be the right way. Notice the change now in verse 15. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth. What he thought
He now knows to be wrong, and now he knows with certainty and with clarity. You see, salvation not only changes the heart, but it confirms the mind. You can know God's salvation. You can be sure of it. What a change in this man's life. His illness was healed. His pride was removed. His soul was saved. And our God today is the same God who touched and healed Naaman. No situation he cannot overcome. No sinner too great that he cannot save. Naaman had a great sickness. But there was a great Savior who was able to overcome and make Naaman a new man. And yet he was the only one. The only one. The only leper in all of Israel who was saved. And it mattered to that one. You know the story, I'm sure, of how that early one morning, an elderly gentleman was out on the seashore after a big storm had passed by and found the entire beach littered with literally thousands of starfish as far as he could see. And away in the distance, he saw this young boy approaching, and he was watching, and every so often he saw the little boy just bending down and doing something, but he was too far away to see what the wee boy was doing. But as he got closer to the little boy, he says, "Son, can I ask you what you're doing here?" The young boy stopped and looked to the elderly man, and he says, "What I'm doing is throwing starfish back into the ocean." He said, "The tide has come in because of the storm and washed them all up on the beach, and they can't return into the sea by themselves, and if they don't get to the sea, they'll die." The man said to the young boy, he said, "But there must be thousands of starfish here on this beach. And you'll not really make much of a difference." The boy bent down. He picked up another starfish. And he threw it as far into the sea as he could. He said to the old man, "But it's made that difference to one. It matters to one." And folks, we may not see many, many souls saved. But if through our witness and through our life we see one soul saved, it matters to that one. One soul saved from a lost eternity. One word spoken in season by that little maid. She didn't see many one to Christ. But through her witness, she saw one man healed and saved. It mattered to that one. And folks, the tide may be out spiritually. But just a word spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ could be that very word that God uses to save one soul. And it'll be worth it all because it mattered to that one. Naaman, a wonderful picture of what the Lord can do in salvation. And our God today is still able. The grace of God can still reach the proudest of sinners like Naaman was. Cleanse them and save them. Make them a new creature. Let's bow in prayer.